For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. I am Rob West. You don't have to study Scripture long to realize that God's wisdom differs sharply from what the world considers wise. John Cortinez joins us today to talk about the nature of wisdom, and spoiler alert, it's a person, not a thing. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's always a treat to have my friend John Cortinez with us. John is the director of grant making at the McClellan Foundation and the author of True Riches, What Jesus Really Said About Money and Your Heart. John, great to have you back.
It's a treat to be with you, Rob. Thank you.
John, you've made some incredible contributions to our quarterly magazine, Faithful Steward, and our brand new study on the book of Ecclesiastes called Wisdom Over Wealth. And I can't wait for our listeners to get that really rich study that you've produced on this incredible book. And we're going to focus on the book of Ecclesiastes today, and specifically around what it teaches us related to wisdom. So why don't you start by just kind of giving us a flyover?
Sure thing. Well, you know, in our world today, we really prize knowledge and education and expertise. And so it's easy to think that wisdom is the accumulation of facts or the ability to make good decisions. And that's true, but it's also more than that. And especially when we look through Ecclesiastes and really the rest of Scripture as well, yeah, we see that wisdom is not just about intellectual mastery. Wisdom's not just a collection of principles or best practices. We see that wisdom is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. So all through Ecclesiastes, that really great book, we see the preacher or the author of that book wrestling with the big questions of life. What's purpose? Where can I find joy? How should I handle money? And he looks at all the different paths we can take with money, which is toward pleasure or accumulation or status. But he ultimately concludes that all of these are vanity. That's that famous word from that book.
Yes,
it's a striving
right
after the wind. And he really realizes at the end, you know, the wisdom that endures is found in fearing God and keeping his commandments there in the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. But we know it's not just about obedience, it's about a relationship.
Yeah. And as you said, the counsel of Scripture really just shouts this. So take us into how God's word reveals that relationship.
Yes. Well, near the end of Ecclesiastes, actually at the very end, we read that the words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. I think that's really interesting because the identity of this shepherd becomes clear even as we go into the New Testament, because Jesus identifies himself as the good shepherd in the Gospel of John, and he is our source of wisdom. He's not just somebody who gave out wise sayings. He actually is wisdom itself. We read in Colossians that he's the one who orders and sustains all things. So Jesus doesn't just teach wisdom, he is it, he embodies it. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So wisdom's not just those moral principles or good decisions. Again, it's knowing and following Christ, who is the wisdom of God.
Yeah.
So back in Ecclesiastes, we explore the limitations of human wisdom. The preacher, likely Solomon, he was the wisest man around, but he struggled to make sense of life's paradoxes. He pursued knowledge, but it was not enough to give him meaning.
Yeah.
Many of us think, if I could get enough knowledge, if I can read enough books, if I can become good enough in my field, I can arrive at wisdom. But knowledge alone won't answer those deep cries that we have in our soul. And the smartest person in the world can't escape death. We are all going to experience suffering and uncertainty and ultimately death. And so true wisdom, then, that Ecclesiastes points us to, is not just education or achievement. It's got to be received from outside. We read in Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. It all becomes about trusting in Christ, who alone leads us in that true wisdom.
Boy, that is so good, John, and just a powerful idea for us to step back and just sit with and reflect on this idea that wisdom is a person. And especially right now, I was listening to a talk yesterday about AI and just the fact that we're only a year or two away from having the sum of all human knowledge in our pockets free and available. But that means nothing apart from the wisdom that comes in a relationship with Jesus. So when we come back, we'll talk about what it looks like to be in that relationship with Christ and how that applies to our money and money management. John Cortina is here today. We're talking about the person of wisdom. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. The billionaire Howard Hughes was once asked how much money it would take to make him happy. Reportedly, his response was just a little more. You know, it doesn't have to be money or success. It can be anything. More comfort, more happiness, more fitness. Anything not God that has become an end to itself. By contrast, the Apostle Paul says, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. And the only way to learn contentment like that is to realize that everything you have is from His grace, and everything you need, you already have in Christ Jesus. Get more daily encouragement from God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
It's been said that godly mothers write on the hearts of their children what the world's rough hand cannot erase. And that's certainly true of a particular mother in the Bible. That woman is Hannah. And with Mother's Day this weekend in the U.S. and Canada, John MacArthur shows you how the biblical story of Hannah honors moms and motherhood. Be here for Grace to You.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Well, you don't have to study scripture long to realize that God's wisdom differs sharply from what the world considers wise, and that wisdom is really a person, not a thing. It's Jesus Christ. And John Cortinas is with us today. John is the director of grant making at the McClellan Foundation. He's a regular contributor here at Faith and Finance. He writes for our magazine, Faithful Steward, and he's the author of our brand new study called Wisdom Over Wealth, 12 Lessons from Ecclesiastes on Money. And boy, I can't wait for you to pick up a copy. In fact, if you'd like to order it today and take this deep dive into this rich book in the Old Testament, the book of Ecclesiastes, you can head to our website, faithfi.com/shop. That's faithfi.com/shop. John, before the break, you were talking about how really Jesus is the embodiment of wisdom. Unpack that for us just a bit further.
Absolutely. Well, you know, God did write the Ten Commandments on stone. And as he revealed himself, he could have just given us a book or a list of further commands or instructions. But ultimately, he sent his son. He sent a person, God incarnate. And his invitation was not just to see a set of teachings or follow a list of rules, ultimately, but to enter in relationship with that person of Jesus. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." So Jesus didn't say, "Come learn my principles or follow all these ideas." Of course, that's important, but he ultimately is saying, "Come to me." And so to know wisdom is to know Jesus. He's the one who reveals the Father, the one in whom is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so if we really want to be wise, it's not just about knowing theology or having life experience. It's about knowing Christ personally. So the world offers a different kind of wisdom. It's all about self-reliance, pragmatism, achieving. But this kind of wisdom exalts human intellect and minimizes dependence on God. James actually writes that the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. So worldly wisdom is seeking control, but godly wisdom is submitting to Christ. Worldly wisdom leads to pride, but godly wisdom is humble. And worldly wisdom tells us to be fulfilled in the things of this world, but godly wisdom invites us to Jesus, the person, and the only one who can really satisfy the longings of our hearts.
So if it's ultimately all about a relationship with Christ, John, and it is, what are some thoughts on how we best do that? What does it look like to live that out?
Well, that's great, and I love making this really practical. And if wisdom is a person, the way to grow is to walk closely with that person, the person of Jesus. It's a lifelong journey of abiding in him, as he told us to do. I'll just run through a few thoughts here. I think to walk in wisdom with Jesus, number one, let's spend time in God's word, not just for information, but to be transformed and encounter Christ through his word. Number two, to pray and seek his guidance. When we ask God for understanding and wisdom, he's going to answer us. We read that in scripture. Number three is to actually live in obedience, not to just know what's right and good, but to do it and live it out, and that shapes us. Number four, surround ourselves with wise counsel, fellow believers who are also walking with Jesus. Number five, trusting him in times of uncertainty. We're going to face times that we don't understand, times of suffering, times of hardship, times of confusion, but leaning on the one who does will help us to grow even in those times. And last but not least, I'd say developing a heart of gratitude. And this is all through Ecclesiastes. We highlight this in the study, but the preacher of Ecclesiastes reminds us to enjoy the simple gifts God gives us every day. And a wise life is marked by thankfulness to God rather than always striving after, trying to grab after more.
Yeah, that's so good. And clearly we're to take these steps to seek wisdom. But John, as you well know, there's a clear financial component to this as well. You know, I like to think that our financial journey is one of the key ways God shapes our spiritual journey, our relationship with him. And so I'd love for you to begin to make the connection here to finance specifically.
That's great. And I love, Rob, how you're always pointing to this reality that financial concerns are all through scripture and God has a heart for how we manage our money. And so we've got to apply the wisdom of Christ to our finances and work. God cares about those areas. And Ecclesiastes is all over this topic and warns against seeking fulfillment in wealth. True wisdom teaches us that money is a tool, not our source of meaning. And honoring God in work and finances is an essential part of living for him. Ecclesiastes also teaches that we should be generous. In chapter 11, we read, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days." As we give, God returns many blessings to us, and we get to see the kingdom fruit of that giving. So we should give freely, not just of our money and physical resources, but time and love. And that reflects God's nature and his wisdom, because we are made in his image.
I love that. You know, the ability and the opportunity we really have to be generous is a get to. It's not a have to, right?
That's right. And we do get this invitation. You know, when we get to the end of Ecclesiastes, the preacher says the conclusion is to fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Yeah. That's a famous line in how Ecclesiastes lands. Those of us living after Christ's resurrection, we've got the full picture that to fear God is to follow his son, Jesus Christ, and to abide in his love. And so for anyone searching for wisdom, you know, we just say the answer is not to study more or plan better or look for the best ideas. The answer is in Jesus, who is wisdom incarnate. He'll lead us into all truth. So the question is not how much wisdom do you have, but rather, do you actually know wisdom, the person? So just invite everybody to come to Jesus, walk with him and learn from him, because in him is the wisdom that leads to life.
That's powerful. John, you obviously spent a good bit of time in the book of Ecclesiastes as you were writing Wisdom Over Wealth. And again, I'm so excited, folks, for you to get your hands on a copy of this. Ecclesiastes is often thought of as maybe a hard book or something that's a little deeper. You know, the truths are not necessarily there in plain sight. And yet you've discovered the richness of this book. What were some of the, or maybe one big takeaway or surprise that God gave you as you really digged deep into this book?
I love that question. And it was such an awesome journey to dig in. I mean, God's word is full of treasures. And the deeper I go after years of studying it, I just find new things and it shapes and helps me grow. Just one nugget out of looking at Ecclesiastes, especially looking at the topic of wealth. You know, we can actually sometimes get pulled into this idea that Christian money management is all about a frugality contest, right?
And
if I can spend less, that's godly, and that allows me to give more. And look, that's a true idea. At a high level, it is.
Yes.
But Ecclesiastes is a great reminder as it comes over and over to the enjoyment of the gifts that God has provided. And God is not condemning us as we enjoy a nice meal with others, as he blesses us with provision. In fact, he smiles on us in those moments. So it's really incredibly freeing to have the balance of scripture that yes, frugality is good. Yes, we want to give generously, but also in those moments of joyful celebration, we receive it as a gift from the Lord, and there's no condemnation in that. So that is some of the wisdom of the balance of Ecclesiastes as it talks about how we are to interact with money in our faith journey.
Yeah. Wow, that is so powerful, John. Thanks for being with us today.
So good to be together. Thank you.
That's John Cortinez, author of True Riches, What Jesus Really Said About Money in Your Heart. Hey, if you've been encouraged by this conversation, how wisdom is not just knowledge, but a relationship with Jesus, you'll love diving deeper into FaithFi's brand new study, Wisdom Over Wealth, 12 Lessons from Ecclesiastes on Money. Get your copy or place a bulk order for your church at faithfi.com/shop. We'll be right back.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
Some would say truth is relative, and to the world, that's right. What the world considers to be truth fluctuates depending on the narrative they're trying to promote. Of course, we know truth is found in Scripture, and it never changes. The documentary, The God Who Speaks, proves the Bible's reliability as the source of real truth and reinforces our belief in it as our firm foundation. Watch it anytime at stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
AFA is a listener-supported ministry, and one very popular way to help us fulfill the Great Commission is through the AFA Foundation. You may know about things like charitable gift annuities, bequests, trusts and wills, but even if you don't, AFA Foundation will not only provide in-depth answers to your questions, we'll even help you set everything up so you can leave a legacy that lasts for generations. Get started today at afafoundation.net. afafoundation.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
To have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Boy, looking forward to taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. That number to call is 800-525-7000. It's 800-525-7000. We look forward to hearing from you today and tackling whatever's on your mind and heart today. Boy, what a treat to have John Cortinez here today. We always enjoy our time with John, and I am really delighted about our new study, Wisdom Over Wealth. Looking forward to you getting your hands on it and digging deep into the book of Ecclesiastes to discover all God has for us in the counsel of Scripture, but in this case, in this particular book, as it relates to how we manage His money. If you'd like to check it out, you can go to our website and pre-order it. It'll be out very soon. Just go to faithfi.com and click on shop, or if you want to become a FaithFi partner, you will get all of our studies and devotionals, plus pre-release copies, and you'll receive four copies of our magazine, Faithful Steward, as well. That comes out quarterly. Just click on give when you visit faithfi.com. Well, we're ready to turn the corner and begin taking your calls and questions today here in just a few moments. So now's the time to call. If you've got something on your mind today in your financial life, maybe you're struggling with that spending plan, or you want to give wisely, maybe you want to lean into some of the things that John mentioned, or you're wrestling with your investment strategy, whatever it might be today, go ahead and call right now. That number again is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Our team is ready. We've got lines open for you. They won't last long, though, so now's the time to call. In the news today, as college costs continue to climb, many high school seniors are letting the math do the talking, opting for in-state public schools instead of pricey private universities. One key reason? Debt. Financial concerns now outrank academics for 8 in 10 families when choosing a college, according to Sallie Mae's 2024 How America Pays for College report. And there's good reason to be cautious. Tuition has increased 5.6% per year on average since 1983, well above the rate of inflation. That's according to a new report from JP Morgan. It also showed that state funding for higher education has declined, pushing 48% of college costs onto families. That's up from 38% just a decade ago. Student loan debt now totals more than, you ready, $1.6 trillion with a T, according to the Federal Reserve. And a separate Princeton Review survey found that the number one fear among incoming college students is taking on too much debt. So students are prioritizing schools that offer scholarships or local commuting options and less reliance on loans. For many families, the takeaway is clear. A public college close to home may be a smarter choice that helps young adults start their post-college years with freedom, not financial chains. Of course, Proverbs 22:7 speaks to this. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower becomes the slave of the lender. So just be careful in that. Obviously, the key, if you can back way up, is to save. Now, I will say, I wouldn't prioritize saving for college over saving for retirement, and here's why. There are ways to pay for college, scholarships and grants, perhaps working during the summer or getting a campus job. There's a number of ways you can reduce the overall cost of attendance for you out of pocket. that's not true for retirement. So I would prioritize first, giving. Second, get out of debt and have an emergency fund. Third, let's take full advantage of that matching portion of your 401k if you've got it, but with a goal of getting the retirement savings up to 10 to 15% of your take-home pay. And then let's start thinking about college. But if you can do that and begin systematically saving over the long haul, boy, that will go a long way to giving you options and really thinking about the best fit for your child, whether that's college or something else. And in the college category, is it a private or a public university? And where's the best place for them to ultimately get that job that aligns with their skills and God-given abilities? But hopefully this is some helpful information for you as you just think about your strategy to cover the cost of college. All right, we're going to dive into your questions today. The lines are filling up. We've got, looks like, two lines remaining. 800-525-7000 is the number to call if you want to get in on the conversation. Let's begin today in Tennessee. Hi, Deborah. How can I help?
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks for your call.
Okay, well, I was wondering, I got about maybe just $50,000 just in a regular bank account. And I started, you know, listening about this here investing in gold.
Yeah.
And it's with, so I was just trying to see, you know, if you have to have $10,000 up front for the gold and $5,000 for silver. And I just wanted to know, what did you think? I mean, I was getting it for like my grandkids, and they're very young.
Yes. Very good, Deborah. You know, I like the precious metals, but only as a part of a well-diversified portfolio. So for me, you know, I would say no more than 10% of your investable assets in gold. Now, I know you're talking about a gift, and we can get to that here in just a moment. But at a high level, I like the idea of perhaps a 5%, what I call forever allocation. And that might be the portion where you actually buy the physical gold. And obviously finding a reputable dealer is important. So you'd want a trusted dealer. You'd want to look at a lot of reviews because there are a lot of shady online sellers or high pressure sales. You'd want to stay far from that. But the idea that you would take physical possession up to 5% and basically keep it with the plan not to sell it and pass it down, I think makes a lot of sense. You do have to store it and secure it. And there are some costs associated with that. But, you know, I think that's the key for that next 5%. And again, we're just talking generally here. If you wanted to go up to a full 10%, that's where I think using the exchange traded funds can make some sense. So there's probably more than a dozen of them now. One of the most well-known is GLD. It's basically an exchange traded fund that's a tracker that follows the price of gold without you needing to take physical possession of it. They actually have gold backing it, but you buy it and sell it like a stock. And that could be a great way for you to take a position in gold for the kids. So you'd open an individual or a joint account in your name so you control the time and place that they receive it. And then in that account at Schwab or Fidelity, you could buy some shares of GLD or one of the others, and it would move with the price of gold. I'm going to take a break. Stay on the line. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by credit card debt? As followers of Christ, we are called to be good stewards of what God has given us. That's why our trusted partner, Christian Credit Counselors, is here to help. Their debt management program can help you pay off your debt 80% faster while honoring your commitments in full. Take the first step toward financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org
or call 800-557-1985.
Imagine having biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox every week, helping you integrate your faith and financial decisions for the glory of God. At faithfi.com, you can join a community of over 70,000 people who are already receiving our weekly wisdom email, filled with articles, videos, podcasts, and exclusive offers on resources that will deepen your understanding of biblical stewardship. Start your journey today by creating your FaithFi account at faithfi.com. Just click sign up.
I'm Dr. Ray Rooney. The mission of American Family Association is to inform, equip, and activate individuals and families to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and give aid to the church here and abroad in its task of fulfilling the Great Commission. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, helping you live as a wise and faithful steward, managing the money God has entrusted to you. I'm Rob West. Looking forward to taking your calls and questions here. In fact, let's do that right now. We'll head right back to the phones to Nevada. Hi, Jill. How can I help?
Well, good morning. I have a CD at Wells Fargo that will be, it's matured, and my Edward Jones guy said that they have a better deal where your money's not tied up for 3 to 6, 9 months. It's just a 24 hours. But I wasn't quite sure if my money was safe doing that or there's a risk in that.
Yeah, it just totally depends upon what your advisor is putting it in. I suspect if he knows this is money, or she, coming from a certificate of deposit, that this is money you want to keep on the most conservative or safe end of the risk spectrum. And so I suspect it'd be something equivalent. He or she is probably talking about putting it into some sort of money market account or some sort of what they call sweep account, where it's kind of parsed out across either other CDs or treasuries, but it's more liquid. So I suspect, although you ought to confirm this, that it has a very high degree of safety. They're just going to manage it in instruments that give it more liquidity than is available with a certificate of deposit, where you have to wait the stated period of time while it's locked up, you know, 6 or 12 or 18 or 24 months. But I would go ahead and confirm that and just say, I appreciate you say that this is going to be more liquid. Can you just talk to me about the safety element of this? What is it actually invested in? And do I have the potential to lose anything? I suspect the answer would be no, just based on I'm hearing. But there's nothing that's risk-free. Everything has a degree of risk. The question is, what is that risk and how likely is it?
Okay, yeah, because he was trying to explain it. That, you know, unless the government just blew up, that it was safe. But I still wasn't quite sure what he was, you know, where he was putting this money. He knows that this is money for my deposit for a house that I'm eventually trying to get. So,
okay.
I'm assuming.
Well, if you want to ask that question and get the more specific answer and call back, I'd be delighted to weigh in. It sounds like it could be maybe some government securities, which I think would be absolutely on the most safe end. Again, nothing is risk-free, but if something's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government, and in your words, it requires the U.S. government, quote, blowing up, then I think that's pretty safe, because I don't think the U.S. economy or government's going anywhere, Lord willing.
I would hope not. Well, I appreciate your help. I have to make a decision today. I'm like, who else do I talk to?
Got it. Yeah. Well, get some more details, but I suspect if you've got an advisor, Edward Jones is an incredibly reputable investment advisor, brokerage firm. I think you're probably in good shape.
Well, I appreciate your help, and God bless you.
And thank you, Jill. Take care. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We have, looks like, two lines open. You're welcome to call right now. We'd love to chat with you today. Also, coming up, Bob Dahl will stop by in the next segment. We'll get Bob's take on the markets today. What's moving the markets as we start a new trading week? Bob will weigh in on all of it. The major index is starting lower today, although not by much, but we'll get Bob's take as we chat with him here in the next segment. Let's head to Texas. Hi, Archie. How can I help?
Hey, I want to thanks for your show. Appreciate it a lot.
Yes, sir.
I want to change my financial advisor. They've been kind of derelict in duty, and I got three questions. You want to hit the other two real quick?
Let's do it.
Okay, and then I've been paying all my bills offline so far, and I'm trying to. It's getting harder and harder to do, and through the mail and that kind of thing, and then. So if you could give some advice on that. I know other people are doing it still, and I think they're probably having the same problem. And then the other trend I'm seeing with credit card companies is they're charging late fees when they're not late. And then you call them and say, hey, what's this here for? Oh, we'll take it off. So I don't know if there's a trend that way or not, but I'm running it with two credit card companies.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, let me weigh in on both of those. With regard to the trend away from physical transactions to digital, absolutely that's true. I don't think we're going to see a day anytime soon where you cannot use a check, but clearly the data says that it's just fallen off a cliff. And obviously this next generation, the Gen Y generation, they pay for everything electronically. And so that trend is going to continue. I think as long as you're using just wise practices with regard to how you conduct business online, and I'll give you a few of them, you know, watch out for links in emails. Those are phishing scams where they're trying to get your information. You know, don't log into your financial institutions on public Wi-Fi, like at a coffee shop. Keep your operating system up to date. That's going to keep the latest security patches in place. Have unique passwords with long strings that you change regularly for each of your institutions. Don't use the same one over and over again. If you follow, you know, those best practices and then just keep up with your accounts, it is very safe, although the fraudsters are very good at what they do. But as long as you follow those best practices, your risk is low. I think there are a lot of benefits to moving to a more digital environment. In some cases, it is more secure because your information is not passing through the mail with your routing number and your account number that somebody could grab and steal. You have the ability, I think, to start by just using your bill pay through your bank, where essentially they're still going to send, in many cases, a paper check on your behalf, but you're not having to do that. And then obviously, if you get into more ACH type payments, where it's bank transfers, where there's never a physical check involved, or even some of the electronic payment systems like, you know, PayPal and Venmo and others. Again, I think there's a lot of security features there, and I think you'll find it saves you a lot of time in the end, so long as you can get comfortable with it and use wise practices there. With regard to the trend on late fees, I mean, this is a highly regulated industry. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, among others, are, you know, overseeing these credit card companies. You know, they would have a hard time if there was a practice there where they were charging late fees that were not warranted. I've not seen anything around that where that's been occurring. And again, it would be very problematic. The regulators would be all over it. So if you see a trend, you know, there and that continues to happen, let us know. Maybe you call the company and find out, is there something I'm missing here with regard to, you know, the close of the cycle and when my payment is due? But I'm not aware of any larger trends where these credit card companies are imposing late fees when they're not able to, because you're not actually late, with the hopes that you will just miss it. I mean, that would be a major issue if that was taking place. But is that helpful to you today, Archie?
All except the clarification is I was looking for, and I let it go because of the other people may need that advice as well. But I was looking at ways to pay offline. I'm still using the mail.
Okay. Yeah.
And so
what challenges are you running into?
Well, the mail isn't really a problem. The credit card payment is getting to be a major problem. I had to pay a fee for like $30 for an insurance payment, and didn't used to be that way. And they are really trying to keep us from paying by credit card now.
Yeah.
So I'm going back to envelope and stamp.
Yeah. Okay. Well, again, I don't think that's going away anytime soon. They're clearly the trend is away from that, and it's more efficient and in many cases more secure, and that's why they're doing it. However, you have the right to pay by a check. You may just want to back up when you're sending that a little bit. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
Do you want God to work a miracle in your life? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
Listen, I don't know how God is speaking to your heart and what he's speaking to your heart about, but I know this, he's present and he's looking for people who will believe him, who will step up. God shows up when you and I step up.
Let God show up in your life. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
Your child is ready to leave the nest, but are you ready? On the next Focus on the Family, mom of six, Marcy Scyther, reminds you to breathe and trust God as you launch your child into the world. She'll offer ways to help siblings transition and gives you thoughts on how to revitalize your marriage during this time. That's next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Thrilled to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, but in this segment, it's our market update. That's right. Bob Dahl is here. He's CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, a leader in faith-based investing. And Bob, here we are starting out a new week. The market started out a bit lower, although it looks like it's coming back a bit. But the S&P 500 has been really strong, at least the last 10 days or so. Tell us where we're at today as you start the trading week.
Yeah, we to your S&P 500 comment, Rob, as you know, last 9 days, 9 in a row that the S&P 500 is up. That's a 20-year record. So, somebody said, what bear market? it's all up and to the right, as it were. It's a recovery from the worst of it when people were concerned that a recession was right around the corner, that the trade deals create all uncertainty, et cetera, et cetera. Now, none of that's gone away. The market has just responded in this period of volatility after going down a lot and fast with some recovery. We've gotten back to when Trump made the announcement in terms of the market level. So lots of cross currents. I hate to say it, uncertainty leads to volatility, and there's still plenty of it in both directions.
Yeah. The president talking over the weekend about perhaps a framework or several of them coming out with respect to tariffs and resetting trade. So we'll see what happens there. Obviously, maybe the market anticipating some of that. But Bob, what about the most recent data? And in particular, we had some payroll data as well as job data since we last spoke.
Yes, we did, and I think the therein lies you can look at the glass half full or half empty. The half full would say gee, the number of new jobs, 177,000, was ahead of the consensus expectations. That's great news. But the bear would turn around and say, no, no, the glass is half empty. Number of jobs gained was a notable decrease from where we've been, and the prior 2 months were revised downward by an amount that was more than the positive positive gain versus expectations, if you follow all that. It's clear the risks to unemployment are skewed to the upside, but that's the kind of way things are going. On the one hand, on the other hand, we need some clarity, and we're not getting a whole lot of it just yet, Rob.
Yeah. What does all this mean for the Fed, Bob? Obviously, a lot of moving parts. Does that mean you think, does the Fed just continue to hunker down here and wait to see the impact on inflation of all of these moving pieces, or do you feel like they act sooner rather than later?
Yeah, I think they will sit on their hands. It will be interesting to see what the comments look like, but they're always between a rock and a hard place to say what we've been saying so far this call. The soft data, the instantaneous, what are you thinking, surveys of consumers, business, small and big, have all been falling off a cliff. Not good. But the hard data, which measures the economy, which always lags the soft data, has only rolled over a bit. And so the Fed's kind of scratching their head like all of us and saying, I don't know enough to make a change in interest rates.
Yeah. Very good. Bob, what about the latest earnings data and just the comments that surround that data from the CEOs of the biggest companies? Is there a trend that's emerging there?
Yeah, the trend is, I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth again, like I have on so many of your good questions today. On the one hand, the first quarter earnings reports have been pretty good. Yeah. But on the other hand, the look forward is a scratch of the head. I don't know. A lot of companies are withdrawing their estimates for going forward, their guidance, because they don't know either. So first quarter, okay. But remember, all this uncertainty sort of hit in late March and mostly in April.
Hmm. Bob, what about this big, beautiful bill the president keeps talking about with regard to the 2017 tax cuts and the permanence of those, perhaps? I know it's a huge priority for Congress right now, at least the Republican side of the aisle. Anything new there with regard to the feasibility of getting this through?
So I would remind listeners that at the end of this year, should no action be taken on those tax cuts that were passed in Trump's first term, we will experience the largest tax increase in U.S. history, which raises the probability of recession by a lot. So something, quote, has to happen, and the Republicans are in the driver's seat. They were originally hoping to get a deal by July 4th, now maybe by the August recess. The question is, what can we afford as a country? And the answer is not much. What kind of offsets might we have? So there's a lot of debate. And, of course, the Republican Party, like all parties, are not unified. And so trying to get something through is going to take a lot of compromise, a lot of cool heads, and a lot of people looking the other way and pulling the yes vote, as it were.
Yeah, very good. Bob, last question. With regard to faith-based investing, you and I were together recently in a summit of asset managers, and I know one of those fund families was rolling out some new data based on research they had done. It seems like we're seeing more and more of these. But the disconnect between the desire on the part of the investors for their values to be incorporated in their investments, which was high, in this case, 75% of those that were surveyed wanted it, but the advisors were not talking about it. They're not bringing it into the conversation. I know we're working hard at Kingdom Advisors to close that gap, but do you feel like that's one of the big challenges to adoption?
Probably the biggest barrier, Rob, as you hinted. That is, the Christian investor, want to do something about lining up my investments with my faith, and advisors are not necessarily bringing it up. Because I think they're concerned, how will their clients react to it? Do they really want this? Does the advisor know how to do it? It's a learning process. You've heard me say it before. My 4 years at Crossmark, I spent more time educating individuals and financial advisors than I thought possible in that amount of time. But we're making headway as people are coming to grips with, yes, I want to line up my investments, like all of my life, with my faith. And so how do I do it? That's where we are.
Well, there's probably nothing more encouraging for an advisor than when your client walks in and says, hey, can we talk about putting my values to work here in my investments? That's probably going to get some movement.
Here, here.
Huh? All right, Bob.
So true. So speak up, clients.
That's exactly right. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. That's Bob Dahl. He's CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. He joins us each Monday with his market commentary. All right. Let's try to round out the broadcast here on the phones. Back to Texas. And by the way, Dennis will be coming your way here in just a moment. Gus, how can I help you?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Mr. Rob. Thank you for your time on the radio. I've learned a lot from you over the years.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I got a question. You had on the radio a while back here, a couple of months, refinance, reverse mortgage, Christian company. I can't remember the name of them. I was wondering if you had the phone number and the name, please.
Yeah. I'll give you a website if that'll work for you, Gus.
Okie doke.
All right. Go to movement.com/faith. That's movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage is our partner there. They're a reverse division. They're a Christian company founded by a former NFL player who's just a committed Christ follower named Casey Crawford. It's one of the biggest mortgage companies in the country. But their reverse division is led by the gentleman that you heard on the air, Harlan Akala, who's an author and just a longtime leader in this area of reverse mortgages, who is also a believer and can certainly assist you there with anything you need. Movement.com/faith.
I appreciate it, Mr. Rob. You have a great day. God bless.
You too, Gus. Take care. We're going to finish out the program today in North Carolina. Dennis, thanks for your patience. How can I help?
Hello?
Hi there. How can I serve you?
Yeah, this is Dennis. And I've been a member for a while. I really appreciate what you guys do. I just have a real quick question. It's concerning reverse mortgage.
Yeah.
I don't have one now. And I'm just wondering if something should happen to me, could my wife get the reverse mortgage?
Could she keep it or could she get one?
Could she get one?
Could she get one? Yes, absolutely. Anybody who owns a home who's at least 62 years old and has roughly, this isn't hard and fast, but roughly 50% equity in the home. So as long as she was over 62 and had a roughly 50% or more equity in the house, she'd be able to get a reverse mortgage. You know, for a lot of people tuning in today, maybe you've not heard us talk about reverse mortgages in the past, and these have gotten a bad rap for good reason in the past. But today's product is much different, what's called a home equity conversion mortgage. Listen, as a Christ follower, the idea that we would get out of debt and stay there is something I love. I mean, we've talked about that quite a bit here on this program, and I think there are clear warnings in Scripture around the use of debt, even though borrowing is not a sin. However, I will say that in this season of life, the ability to consider as a part of your financial planning all of your assets, not only your IRAs and your 401k and your real estate, but also the equity in your real estate as a way to solve for either a gap in income or the fact that you haven't saved enough, or the fact that your biggest expense is really creating some challenges in your financial life, and that happens to be your mortgage. That's where a reverse mortgage can come in. The great thing about the today's reverse mortgages, the home equity conversion mortgage, is that it's non-recourse debt. So it's not personally guaranteed. The only thing you'd ever have to satisfy the loan is your home. You and your spouse can live there for the rest of your life, and whatever equity remains after that reverse mortgage is paid off after your death goes to your heirs or charity, wherever you want. So it can be an effective tool, certainly not for everybody. But to your point, Dennis, absolutely. She would be able to get that after your passing as long as she's 62 and has at least 50% equity in the home. And that could be in the form of a line of credit or a stream of income. If you want to learn more, go to movement.com/faith. Dennis, thanks for your call today. That's going to do it for us. For John Cortinez, our guest today, Devin Patrick, producer, Sandy Dickinson on the phones, and Jim Henry on research, I'm Rob West. We'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.